From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in the 1920s, when the Children's Home Bible Club was launched in the San Francisco Bay Area. The Home Bible Club grew, and by 1946, there were nearly 1,000 home Bible clubs and classes. In the 1950s, the effort took on the form of the Good News Club, an effort to evangelize young children across the country. It's become an after-school club in many cases, hosted by public school districts. Today, there are more than 4,200 Good News Clubs in this country, with more than 170,000 children enrolled. But in Monroe County, there's only one that we know of, hosted by the Churchville Child Eye School District starting several years ago. The Good News Club is powered nationally by Child Evangelism Fellowship. It's Child Evangelism Fellowship. Their stated goal is to, quote, evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to disciple them in the Word of God and in a local church for Christian living, end quote. For evangelical Christians, the club embodies their highest values, converting children, spreading the gospel. But for some, however, there's deep concern that public school districts are hosting a club with that mission. In Churchville Child Eye, there is a new club. It's kind of a counterweight to the Good News Club. It's called the Young Skeptics Club. We have invited various leaders of CEF, that's Child Evangelical Fellowship, nationally to join us on this program. We've also reached out to the Good News Club to join us today. And so far, we've only heard back from Child Evangelism Fellowship. Child Evangelism Fellowship nationally. And I want to read a statement from them before we welcome our studio guest. This comes from Moises Estevez, who's the Vice President of USA Ministries for Child Evangelism Fellowship, Inc. They tell us he was not available to join our program today, but here's the statement they said. Quote, in 2001, the United States Supreme Court ruled overwhelmingly that Good News Clubs can be on school campuses and have equal treatment as other groups. Child Evangelism Fellowship has 4,200 Good News Clubs in elementary public schools with over 170,000 children enrolled. In order for children to attend Good News Clubs, they must present signed parental permission slips. As long as children desire to attend other clubs and parents give permission, it is the choice of those families to do so. Child Evangelism Fellowship has been teaching for 77 years, what the Bible has been teaching for 2,000 years. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Children in our clubs learn about God, the Bible, and Jesus. They learn how to respect one another, to respect their parents and their teachers. Not only does this provide a good after-school program to keep the kids out of trouble, but we teach them to love God and to love others. We have positive responses from children, parents, and school staff. A survey was done with over 200 principals of schools with Good News Clubs from 28 states. 87% of those principals had personal knowledge that the GNC, the Good News Club, has been a positive experience for their school. Good News Clubs are so beneficial that there have been many situations where schools have requested them. That comes from Moises Estevez, the Vice President of USA Ministries of Child Evangelism Fellowship, Incorporated. In studio for the hour, from the Young Skeptics Club at Churchville Child Eye, is Kevin Davis. He's a parent and the communications director. Kevin, nice to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Dan Courtney is here, the executive director of the club. Dan, nice to see you.
Thank you, Evan.
And we're also going to be talking to a woman who is an author of a book called The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. And Dan, I'm going to start with you. I know that you're very well familiar with that book, mm-hmm. and the club that you've helped create is kind of a counterweight to The Good News Club. But The Good News Club is saying, we're spreading a mission that we think schools want, parents want, and children need. What do you say to that?
Well, we're not challenging the legality of their ability to have the after-school club at the Churchville Child Eye School District. But to say that they're spreading the love of Jesus, for example, in their statement, I think is disingenuous. The program and the author you're going to bring on, Catherine Stewart, shortly, the author of the book, can speak more to this. The program that they provide is heavily laden with references to sin and children being inherently sinful. And we think that that's a problem as far as denigrating children, not being respectful to them as individuals or to the children's parents in the way that they evangelize young children.
Let me ask a parent of a three-year-old?
Yes.
And you wanted to be involved with the Young Skeptics Club. Why?
Well, for me, I feel it's reprehensible to evangelist to a child that's, you know, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, when they don't have the really capacity to weigh, you know, whether what they're being told is the truth, is good for them, or can kind of weigh evidence and make their own conclusions. So you're telling a child how to or what to think instead of giving them the tools to be able to understand how to think.
And let me also say that I had a chance to talk to a spokesperson for the Churchville Tri-Life School District today, who told me that, again, this is an after-school club, the Young Skeptics Club and the Good News Club, after-school club. And the way it works is that the school district says, essentially, we're not involved with that. It's not our thing. We are allowing this club to use school public school facilities. And the way that process works is a club applies, generally online, and the school district, first of all, has to determine, do you have insurance? In this case, Good News Club does. The Young Skeptics does. So the school district says, okay, you've got insurance. What's your mission? And the club shares their mission, their goals. And the school district says, as long as the mission does not conflict with our mission as a public school district, you can have your club. And Churchville Tri-Life decided a few years ago that the Good News Club fits within the mission of the school district. And so they have been allowing the Good News Club and now the Young Skeptics Club, among many others, to use classroom space or gymnasiums, cafeterias after school. So, Dan Courtney, do you have an issue with that? The Churchville Tri-Life saying, hey, those are the rules. They fit within the rules.
Well, what the mission of the Churchville Tri-Life School District is, and I have them in front of me here, talk about, for example, we need to treat each other with mutual respect, dignity, and honesty. Also, they go on to say we need to affirm individual worth, and everyone deserves a welcoming and nurturing environment that fosters positive relationships. Now, we can talk about what the Good News Club does. They advertise themselves as essentially fun and games and teaching lessons from the Bible. That's what the permission slip that they send home with the students says on it. But what they don't say is really the curriculum of the Good News Club, as advanced by Child Evangelism Fellowship, is really laden with the references to sin and the sinful nature of the child. In fact, I can read for you just very briefly a lesson plan that's a part of the Child Evangelism Fellowship curriculum. And briefly, it's called God's Gift to You. It goes on to say, I've got something for you, and they pick out a child to give an envelope to. You've earned this. Just like you've earned an allowance for doing chores, you have done something to earn what's in this envelope. Do you know what you've done? They have the child respond. You've done something we've all done. You've sinned. Who can tell me what sin is? And they wait for a response. Now, the Bible says, quote, all have sinned, unquote. That means everyone, including you. You have thought, said, and done things that are wrong, that breaks God's laws. Let's see what you've earned by sinning. And then they have the child open the envelope, and in the envelope is the word death. Now, remember, this is children as young as, in this case, 5 years old, getting an envelope and being told that they have earned death. We don't think that's appropriate for young kids, and it's certainly not in the spirit of respecting the kids and providing a nurturing environment. So I think it's completely contrary to the mission of the Churchville Tri-Life School District.
All right, so kind of two prongs here. You're concerned with them allowing the club to use public school facilities in the first place on those grounds, but outside of that, the Young Skeptics Club, as I've read, is not an overtly atheist club. It's more of a sort of a critical thinkers club. Kevin, what's the mission there?
Correct. So the mission of the Young Skeptics Club is to empower children to be able to think for themselves, make their own decisions, weigh evidence, test their own hypotheses and things like that. We don't intend to even broach the subject of religion in our group. And as you know, the leaders of the Young Skeptics, we feel that you know, religion is a private matter, and it's something that...
So you won't be denigrating other religions?
Absolutely not, no. It's not a group about religion, and it's not a group to try to, you know, crank out atheist kids. It's not appropriate in a school as far as we're concerned.
Okay, so give me an example of what you guys will be doing in the Young Skeptics Club.
Well, I can tell you the first club this Thursday, 3:30 p.m. at room 42 at Fairbanks Road Elementary School. a quick plug. The first lesson is about the difference between facts and opinions. So what we're going to be doing is helping the kids decide, you know, what is an opinion and what is a fact, and helping them sort that out. So again, like Kevin said, although we were motivated by the fact that the Good News Club was in these schools and is, we think, is denigrating young children, we are not going to be an anti-Good News Club, and we're not an atheist club. We're just helping empower children to think for themselves.
Could you do that lesson for some media members on facts versus opinion? That could, if you had time. We're talking to Dan Courtney and Kevin Davis from the new Young Skeptics Club in Churchville, Tri-Lie, and we're talking about what they're doing. We're talking about what Good News Clubs are, and I want to stress again, we invited the local Good News Club to join us. Didn't hear back from the local club, and I want to make the pledge now to our listeners and to the members of the Good News Club. If for some reason they haven't gotten our messages, they can come on this program, and I would welcome them to do that on a future program. But the national folks who are helping sort of power the Good News Clubs across the country is the Child Evangelism Fellowship, and they did send a statement but declined to come on the program for today. Also on the line with us is Catherine Stewart. She's the author of The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. It's a book. And Catherine, thank you for taking the time to join us as well.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Catherine, I know your own experience led you to investigate a little bit more of what the Good News Club is all about. Kind of take us back to the beginning of that.
Sure. In 2009, I was living in Santa Barbara, California, with my family when I heard that a Good News Club was coming to our daughter's public elementary school. My daughter was in the first grade at the time. And, you know, the news didn't really concern me much at first. I heard that the program offered Bible study from a non-denominational standpoint. I was a bit naive, perhaps. I assumed that non-denominational meant non-sectarian. And, you know, I happened to think that the Bible perhaps should be studied even in public schools from a literary or historic perspective, not a sectarian perspective. But I studied the Bible, took a class in Bible when I was in high school. It was very interesting, but it was taught from a non-sectarian perspective. But then I started to hear stories from other parents in town whose kids went to these Good News Clubs. They went to schools where Good News Clubs had been recently established. And I started to hear about how the 5-year and 6-year-old kids that were attending the clubs were starting to target their peers for what I could only describe as faith-based bullying and bigotry. And I want to give you an example. There's a little girl named Zoe who I knew, her family, and she got into this fierce argument on the playground with Ashley, who was attending a Good News Club. Ashley started berating Zoe for not believing in Jesus. The teacher overheard the, you know, conflict and decided to break it up by explaining that people of different religions have different perspectives on these matters. Now, Zoe, the little girl who'd been bullied, was fine with this, but Ashley burst into tears. She was attending a Good News Club, and she started crying, and she said, "I know it must be true because they taught it to me in school, and they don't teach things in school that aren't true." She said, "How can they lie to us in school?" Now, this story gets to the core of the trouble with Good News Clubs. I don't have a problem with kids talking about their religion with their friends at school, but I do have a problem with kids being deceived into thinking that their school favors a particular religion, and kids being encouraged to use that misleading information to bully and berate their peers. And that false perception on the part of these kids is no accident. See, public schools have a kind of cloak of authority in the minds of little kids. They think if it happens in this school, it must be true. It must be what the school wants them to believe. Children at that age, they cannot distinguish between an activity that takes place in their school and one that is sponsored by their school. And I think that the Good News Clubs, you know, basically give these children a false but unavoidable impression that their school endorses this particular form of Christianity.
We're talking to Catherine Stewart, the author of the book, The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. And I don't want to speak for the Good News Club or Child Evangelism Fellowship, but again, they have said that they've got routinely received good reviews from principals, school districts, and they also point out that their mission was essentially upheld by the Supreme Court. Catherine, tell us about that.
Yes, I would love to talk about the Supreme Court decision. It was a 2001 decision called Good News Club versus Milford Central School. And that decision basically removed, it sort of denigrated Establishment Clause concerns in connection with Good News Club-style activities. It said that to exclude these activities represents an unconstitutional violation of free speech rights, which, you know, the net effect is that to propose whenever the school creates what is technically known as a limited public forum, which is to say as soon as it lets in, like, a soccer club or an art club, it has to pretty much open its doors to a religious club, such as a Good News Club. Now, the problem I view with this decision is that religion is not, let's remember, it's not treated like any other kind of speech by the government. Significant tax advantages, housing exemptions for ministry, or you know, et cetera, other for-profit and non-profits don't have, these kind of benefits are accorded to religion. Also, religious organizations are exempt from financial transparency requirements that other forms of speech are required to adhere to. Religious speech is also treated very differently by our legal code. Religions are exempt from anti-discrimination laws. For instance, they can legally discriminate on the basis of ethnicity, religion, gender, lifestyle choice, quote-unquote, and the like. And finally, religions are free to promote the kind of doctrines, such as the idea, for instance, that certain groups of people are less valid or worthy than others, or that, say, women are inferior, for which they are rightly excluded from government institutions. You see, the separation, you know, the very first clause of our very first amendment is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. This is a clause that has been used to defend the separation of church and state. And the separation of church and state is not some legal technicality. You know, it is a principle that has served our government as well as our institutions very well since our nation's founding. And by introducing a particular, look, there are nearly 4,000 Good News Clubs in public elementary schools across the country right now. There's no other sort of organization promoting these kinds of clubs at the elementary level in anything near the scale that Good News Clubs have. Frankly, the Skeptics Club, well, it may or may not be a religious club. I don't think it is. It doesn't sound like it. I'm not familiar with the curriculum. But I haven't been able to find any other types of religious indoctrination clubs in public elementary schools promoted by any other religious denomination. So the fact that, you know, there's so many Good News Clubs promoting this very fundamentalist, very particular form of the Christian religion in public schools does create that false but unavoidable impression. Young kids at the school and the government, by extension, endorses a form of religion. And I believe this goes against the spirit of the Constitution, violates the spirit of the Establishment Clause.
Talking to Catherine Stewart, the author of The Good News Club, The Christian Right's Stealth Assault on America's Children. So, Catherine, when Churchville Tri-Lie School District locally tells us that, you know, they're not involved with the club, it's not a school activity, it's an after-school activity that they are allowing to be hosted on school grounds, and, you know, that there's really not much more to it than that. Why?
I think that they're trying to avoid a lawsuit. I mean, the Child Evangelism Fellowship, which is and they're also probably trying to avoid controversy. I mean, let's be fair to, you know, public school officials. They have, as many of them have told me, so many other things to deal with in terms of budget cuts and, you know, administration issues and, you know, in terms of education standards. They really are not equipped to kind of become referees for the kind of needless religious wars that erupt in their campuses when Good News Clubs come to town. I've heard from so many parents across the country about how, you know, everything was fine in their public schools until, you know, Good News Club comes and all of a sudden their kid is getting bullied by other kids and, you know, who are trying to bring that child to a Good News Club and saying, you know, without believing in Jesus, you're going to go to hell and be separated from God forever. And frankly, this is not what public schools are there for. Public schools, I believe, you know, are there to kind of educate children. They're, you know, we have so many places to practice our religion, if any, our homes, the houses of worship. We can rent businesses, you know, public parks, any number of places. We don't need to be turning our kindergarten classrooms into religious battlegrounds.
Reminder that we did reach out to Child Evangelism Fellowship to ask if they would join the program today. They said they were unavailable, but they did send a statement, which I read at the beginning of this program. I'll read it again a little bit later. We also are happy to offer equal time to the Good News Club locally. They didn't respond to requests to join the program today. But if you're just joining us, the Good News Club is what we're talking about, as well as the Young Skeptics Club out in Churchville, Chilai. And the Young Skeptics Club, being led, among others, by Dan Courtney and Kevin Davis, who are both in studio with us. And Catherine Stewart's on the phone. She's the author of a book about the Good News Clubs across the country. I want to encourage our listeners to call the program if you've got questions or comments. 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Let me ask Kevin and Dan, when it comes to an after-school club and trying to make it enjoyable, when you, when you've got young children involved, do you, I'm fascinated by the question of epistemology. How do we form our beliefs as especially as adults? But it probably starts in childhood. What is sort of the barrier that you need to cross before you accept something as true, I guess? So what are you going to do that's going to be fun for kids to help them think about those things?
Yeah, let me jump in here. Sure. You know, that's a great question, and I'll take you back to the anecdotal information provided by CEF in their statement, where they say that the principals across the country say the kids are doing better with their club in the school. You know, that's a great claim to bring to a skeptical group, because what they're basically saying is we have stories that tell us that somehow the kids are doing better. Well, the fact is that I've actually taken for example, that lesson, you deserve death lesson, to healthcare professionals, for mental health professionals, and they've said unequivocally that this is not conducive to mental health, that it creates all sorts of issues, denigrates the child, and so forth. So there's a bit of evidence that, in fact, they're not doing something good for the kids. In addition, what we're doing with our critical thinking club, there are study after study that shows that critical thinking, teaching that explicitly, actually helps increase a child's IQ and helps them be more creative in the way they approach problems. So we're not just talking about anecdotes that the way the CEF is providing here. We're talking about real hard evidence that what we're going to do is going to be helping kids for the long term.
I want to get to the phones, and the phones are starting to light up. Again, if you want to join the conversation, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Real briefly, Dan and Kevin, what if Good News comes back and says, okay, the lesson that Dan is talking about, in which a group of five-year-olds are taught, well, you sinned, and what do you get for sin? And they open the envelope, and it says death. What if that is thrown out as a lesson? Or do we know that they all teach the same way, Dan? I mean,
I have to jump in here.
Sure.
Somebody did an independent study of their five-year curriculum, which is supposedly taught in every Good News Club from coast to coast, and found thousands of references to sin, hell, and punishment. And by same extension, that person asserted that there were just very minimal references to the good, the golden rule, or the royal law, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. I've seen many of these textbooks of theirs that have very explicit, you know, there's one, for instance, one of their study curriculum materials called Moses the Lawgiver. It's one of the textbooks in their standardized curriculum. And deals with the story of Moses and the golden calf. Now, of course, there are very many ways to interpret these ancient texts. That's, you know, why we have all these different religions and religious denominations. And but in this particular interpretation, the text explains that, you know, 3,000 men lost their lives that day because of their sin. And the review question number 10 asks, what happened to the people who refused to obey God? The answer is they were killed. That lesson includes the word sin, sinful, or sinner 40 times, along with over a dozen references to obedience. And one of the passages in the text says, because of your sin, you deserve to be separated from God forever in a place of punishment. The lesson text instructs the teachers to tell the children this and says that they should say to the kids, even the good things you do aren't good enough. The Bible says these things are like filthy, dirty rags. Filthy rags need to be either thrown away or washed. So basically, a lot of this lesson and others that I have seen seem eager to get the message of obedience across to these kids. So, this is sort of a very kind of sort of, there are other lessons that I've read throughout these books that are very similar. The very strongest message they give is obedience and the idea of sin. And if you don't have a certain belief, you know, you're going to be separated from God forever. You're going to go to a very dark place. You're going to go to hell.
But Catherine, so, the Good News Club has said parents have to agree to this. This isn't, we're not forcing public school children to do this. This is an after-school activity, and parents have to agree.
My problem is that children can't distinguish between an activity that's in their school and one that's sponsored by their school. For me, look, people are free to practice their religion, teach their religion. It's not that I have a problem with the religion itself if it's taught off-site. Look, Good News Clubs have been taught in private homes and perhaps churches for any number of decades, but it's not until 2001 that Good News Club started to be placed in public elementary schools. I mean, the problem I see is that I have heard so many stories of, you know, every Good News Club training I attended, kids were given points or prizes or sometimes even candy for recruiting their peers to the club. And I think the reason why the Child Evangelism Fellowship is so insistent in placing these clubs in public elementary schools is because they have the proximity to the other kids. Look, they're not really that interested in converting children whose families already share their beliefs. I mean, that may be one interest of theirs, but the real goal is to try to get those peers, those children, to get other kids to attend the club, or that's one of their goals, because at the trainings I attended, children were explicitly told to recruit their peers to the club.
Well, let me get our 60-second break in, and then we're going to the phones. If you're waiting on the phones, I know there are a lot of interesting comments coming in. We're going to hit those next as we continue our discussion of the Good News Club, the new Young Skeptics Club, what's appropriate, what's not, and what's happening in these after-school programs. Before we even get to the break, real briefly, let me just clarify, because we had a question online about whether after-school clubs have to pay to use the space. Churchville Chi-Lai told me that some after-school clubs and organizations do pay to rent to use the space, whether it's cafeterias, gymnasiums, school classrooms. The Good News Club, the Young Skeptics Club, do not have to pay to use the space. That's correct, gentlemen?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Is there a reason that your club and the Good News Club do not have to pay?
My understanding is it has to do with the facility's use, whether it requires a janitor or other services. And neither of our clubs would require that.
Okay, short break. Your phone calls next as we continue this discussion on member-supported public radio. Welcome back to Connections. My guests in studio are Dan Courtney and Kevin Davis from the Young Skeptics Club, a new club in Churchville, Chi-Lai. On the phone with us is Catherine Stewart, the author of a book about the Good News Club movement nationally. And I want to get to the phones. This is Tim in Pittsford. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Evan. A few things here. Like what you just said, Evan, kids are however old, 4, 5, 6 years old, it's not like they're going in and signing and saying that they completely understand this. It's not their choice. I mean, the parents are involved here. If the parents, you know, don't want this to happen, it's up to them. They can pull them out of it. They can put them in it. And I don't see why we're putting any emphasis on, well, what the kids learn at school, it must be right. Well, the parents should be involved with this, I'm assuming. And it's their choice. The other thing is the whole religious aspect of going out and trying to get more people in the club. Well, that's kind of what religion is. They would like people to come to their church or wherever they worship. And whatever club you're in, you're trying to get more people in. I mean, my kid's in the freaking chess club, and he tells other kids that it's fun and it's not as boring as you think it would be, and that's how you do it. And personally, at my kid's school, I was happy. I was surprised by this, but this Christmas season they taught about Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and I kind of wish they actually taught about the other choices, atheism or being agnostic. I'm preaching to them, but at least making them a more well-rounded kid. And
So, Tim, in other words, you're saying kids evangelize naturally about what they like. But let me ask you, do you view religion differently than, say, a chess club?
I do view it differently, but again, it's not required. I mean, no one is saying they're not going to a Catholic school. I went to a Catholic school. I've said before, I kind of fell off that wagon. But in Catholic school, you had to take a religion class, or the college I went to, you had to take a theology class, which was a religion class. This is public schools. If you don't want to be part of the club, then you don't have to be part of the club. And again, they're 6 years old or however old they are. Their parents are they bring home something for their parents to sign off on, and they seem to think it's okay. And I'm assuming if they don't, they pull them out of there.
Tim, thanks for the call. Dan, go ahead.
Let me make just two points, Tim. First, on the permission slip that the Good News Club sends home with the kids, it says, Good News Clubs meet after school for singing games and fun ways to learn valuable lessons from the Bible. And that's essentially all they say about what they're doing. They don't talk anything about telling your kid that they're sinful by nature and so forth. So that's my first point, is I think they're being deceptive in how they're promoting their club. The second is, as Catherine mentioned earlier, the confusion about the fact that it's in the school. And just by our own story, we actually sent out press releases about the fact that we're starting up this club. And there's a local media outlet that, despite the fact that we told them explicitly that we're not sponsored by the school, in the story itself, it says that we're sponsored by the school. So if journalists have a difficult time, and adults have a difficult time understanding that distinction, you can imagine how confusing it's going to be for kids. So that's the problem that we have. Not that the club actually exists, but the fact that it's dishonest and it's misleading to the kids.
Catherine, you want to weigh in?
Catherine, yeah, I'd like to add that, we routinely still exclude political clubs from public schools, because if you had an adult leading, say, a young Republican club or a young Democrats club in the public elementary school, it might create the false misperception that the school endorses a particular political position. You're not allowed to do political electioneering in a public school. These kinds of activities are excluded from public schools because people have the understanding that that does create a false but unavoidable impression that the state is endorsing a particular political position. And we used to view religious clubs in the same way. But nobody sort of complains about discrimination because of the fact that we still continue to exclude political clubs.
Well, Bob and Henrietta wants to clarify a point. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thank you. A couple points and then a question. That easy confusion between what is being sponsored by the school and what is not being sponsored by the school is illustrated by the very way in which you introduced the program. You referred to this program, the Good News Club, as being hosted by the school district. Later, you clarified that they were not being hosted by the school district, but even a sophisticated journalist as yourself can easily slide into that kind of verbal error that makes it sound as if it's part of and sponsored by and endorsed by the school district. In fact, it's not. Second point is that there's probably no other organization that participates in the public schools that is allowed to discriminate. This organization discriminates. People who are teachers in this group have to sign a religious pledge that they have subscribed to the very fundamentalist religious views that this group organizes and propounds. They can do that by virtue of a technical court decision. But in fact, they are a discriminatory group in that no one else can teach in that group unless you sign that religious pledge. I don't know if any other group in the schools that use the schools is allowed to discriminate. The school has a very specific non-discrimination policy. Now, the question, how do the discussants feel would be the best way of letting the school parent community know that what the Good News Club presents itself as being, that is a pleasant ecumenical teacher of morality and Bible stories, is in fact not what they are, but that they're an extremist, very aggressive, fundamentalist proselytizing group who are trying to get kids to proselytize for them. So how do you let parents know when what goes home from the school district is a very benign and vanilla-flavored description?
All fair point. Let me hit Bob's first point on the notion of the language on how we say Churchville Charlie is hosting this group. I don't necessarily think that that's entirely incorrect. I'm not saying this is a Churchville Charlie sanctioned or supported or endorsed activity, but the space that Churchville Charlie has as a public school district is being allowed to host the group. So Churchville Charlie,
I disagree. They don't host it. They make the
space available
as they would to any other group.
That's fair, Bob. I mean, they're making the space available. Which is public school.
They're not the host. A host means that you are sponsoring and promulgating the program.
But it's also true that Churchville Charlie has to evaluate the mission of this group, and they're looking at the mission saying, does it fit within our mission? And if it does, we'll allow you to have the space, or we'll donate the space for your group there. But I'll tell you what, Bob, I take the point. And I will adjust the language as appropriate, because I know it's sort of a semantic point, but it's fair, because I don't want Churchville Charlie calling me saying, hey, you said that we're hosting, we're not hosting, we're allowing. It's fine. And I think it's a fair distinction. Now, on the other points, I would ask our guests to weigh in. Again, Bob is making a number of points here about what parents really know and what the mission of these clubs are. Dan? Kevin?
I'll let Kevin answer that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'd like to know the answer to that question, Bob. So, you know, what can we do to raise the awareness? And I think it's, you know, things that have already begun with, you know, Catherine Stewart's book and you know, how can we reach out to parents in the district and say, hey, you may have signed your kid up for this, and this is what the permission slip looks like, and this is what it tells you, but check out this, you know, YouTube video and this investigation, or check out these training materials, and, you know, this is really what happens. So, it's difficult, especially in the village of Churchville, because it's a historically a Christian conservative area where they have a lot of support for the Good News Club, and that support may be just because they don't understand what the club is all about. Maybe not what the club is all about, but the methods they use to indoctrinate children and kind of strip their value while giving it back to them and showing them that they need to follow, you know, Jesus's teachings in order to be a whole person. And unfortunately, those are the methods they use. I guess raising awareness in any respect is difficult, especially around religious topics, because you know, people are very sensitive to them.
Bob, follow up.
Well, I think this kind of program that allows people to comment on what they've seen happening in other communities as a result of the Good News Clubs coming in and clarifying what the Good News Clubs actually are is one way of beginning to spread some information to parents who may not understand fully what they're signing up for.
Bob, thanks for the call. And, you know, we certainly are trying to be as even-handed in educating the public on this issue as we can. That's why we did reach out to Child Evangelism Fellowship. They declined the chance to come on the program, said that they were unavailable today, but they sent a statement pointing out that in 2001, the United States Supreme Court ruled that Good News Clubs can be on school campuses and have equal treatment as other groups, that they've got 170,000 children enrolled across the country, and that their goal is to teach what the Bible has been teaching for what they say is 2,000 years. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they go on to say that they've received overwhelmingly good reviews from school principals and the districts they're in. Dan?
Evan, if I may briefly, both programs, both the Good News Club and the Young Skeptics, according to the rules of the district, need to be open to the public. So in order for people to get a sense of both the Good News Club and our program, I would invite them to come to the respective programs and see for themselves. I think that's the best way to understand. Specifically, parents with kids in the district, please, instead of just dropping your kids off and picking up later, stick around, see what the program is all about. I invite them for ours, and certainly the Good News Club, that would be a good idea.
Okay, let me get back to the phones, and we go to Canandaigua. This is Tom. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. Couple of things. Death in the Bible can be a metaphor for spiritual death, and of course the fact that we all eventually experience death since the Garden of Eden is evident. And the second point is that when the Declaration was proclaimed, it was proclaimed in the churches, In fact, it was they instructed that it be proclaimed in the churches by the founders of our country, who were, for the most part, believers in the very Bible teachings that President Obama and every president puts his oath of office upon when he swears in for office.
Yeah, I think the founders were largely deists, and we can have a whole other discussion on what the founders and their backgrounds. But anyway, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, let me address the idea of death being metaphorical. Well, first of all, it's not clear that the Good News Club considers that reference to death to be metaphorical, first of all. Second of all, what you're doing is you're saying somehow a 4 or 5-year-old is supposed to be able to figure that out when it's not clear, even among adults, exactly what that means. So I think, although that may be an interesting interpretation, I don't really think it speaks to the point of actually terrorizing kids and creating psychological abuse, which is exactly what's happening.
Go ahead, Tom. Follow up.
Well, sometimes, unfortunately, even 5-year-olds experience death, so it's not out of the realm, out of the norm, to teach that death can be a fact, either metaphorically or, in fact, physically.
Well, it's
interesting. I think there's so many different, you know, somebody said earlier, religion is such a sensitive issue, and everybody does have their particular points of view on it, and that's the reason why religion is best kept out of government institutions. Religions thrive, and, you know, people who are sort of pluralistic, our nation, which is inherently pluralistic, is much more peaceful when our religious institutions remain free from entanglement with government.
Well, that seems like a rather schizophrenic approach in our country, then, to say that we were founded on by believers, mostly, for the most part, believers, and that every president has sworn he's put his hand on the Bible.
Hold on, Catherine. Go ahead, Tim.
That every president has put his hand on the Bible. If this was such a terrible, awful book, but it's not, obviously.
It's not that, but it was Thomas Jefferson's letter to the Danbury Baptists, where he first spoke about erecting a wall of separation between church and state. The founders understood that government functions much more effectively when government and religion stay separate.
Let me get back to the phones, and this is Ryan in Rochester. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yes. I was one of your earlier calls made the point that this is a voluntary program that parents had to agree to for their children to participate in. And so, I guess it's somewhat confusing that if the parents are given the approval and the okay for their children to be a part of it, it seems to me that pretty much settles the issue, I guess, because the parents are given the okay. It's not something that's done in a sneaky fashion. I guess it's in some way, it's the way the conversation is being phrased and some of the terms that are used. One of your hosts just mentioned about terrorizing the kids, and it's unfortunate that no one from the other side of the argument made themselves available to be on part of the program, because it seems that the conversation has an anti-Bible or anti-Christian bent to it. I guess, in a sense, I'm wondering if a Buddhist or a Sikh group or, you know, even Muslims, if they had a similar type of program going on, would there be as much opposition? Because I've noticed on a couple of the programs that they've had, that you've had on there, where even, I can't remember the name of the organization, but there was a conversation around Islam and Muslim kids that were being a part of a program, and they were explaining who they are and what they were. And it's almost like we're almost apologetic when it comes to Islam, but when it comes to a Christian or a Bible, even prayer in school, when we talked about that in Greece, prayer in at the city town meetings in Greece, it's almost an anti-Bible, anti-Christian bent, but when it comes to other groups, like I said, Buddhist or even Islam, it's treated almost very gingerly.
Okay, well...
I think, can you imagine the outcry if there were 4,000 Islamic indoctrination, you know, clubs in fundamentalist indoctrination clubs in public elementary schools across the country. Can you even imagine? The fact is there aren't other religious groups putting these indoctrination clubs in public elementary schools across the country. And in my research that I found, when religious minority groups try to exercise their so-called rights in the same way that majority groups or perceived majority groups, they're shut down. They're prevented from doing so.
Right, but Catherine,
I could offer you example after example.
Catherine, two prongs, though, to Ryan's point here. Number one, I do think you make a fair point that if there were Islamic indoctrination groups, and by the way, if you don't like the term indoctrination group, I'm going to read again directly from the Good News Club website, the Child Evangelism Fellowship. Their mission is to evangelize boys and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and disciple them in the Word of God. So if there were Islamic indoctrination clubs, I think Catherine's right. I think that there would be probably a large public outcry. But let's just have a thought experiment here, Catherine, and I'll ask our panelists in studio the same question. Would you have the same objections that you do about a Christian-based club?
I frankly think that all religious, we should exclude religious clubs from public elementary schools in the same way that we now exclude political clubs from public elementary schools. I think when we're talking about the high school level, we're talking about a very different stage. Student-led clubs are completely fine. I don't have a problem if Christian athletes or Jewish athletes want to get together after school, or Muslim athletes want to get together after school, perform acts of worship, etc. And, you know, it's truly student-led, and they're not trying to sort of involve themselves in the game. I think that all the kids are playing. I think that's completely fine. It's a different developmental level. When you're talking about elementary schools and adult-led clubs, I believe we should be excluding all religious indoctrination clubs, whatever the religious approach is.
Okay, Dan and Kevin.
Yeah, and let me just make the point that the fact that they're Christian is really irrelevant. They could be Muslim, Hindu, whatever. The problem is the, and I'll use the word again, terrorizing or psychological abuse of kids. And that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of mental health professionals.
They would disagree with, the club disagrees with.
And I would go further and say,
I have a slight different approach. I believe that, you know, excluding religious clubs from public elementary schools is part and parcel of separation of church and state. I believe that's a defense of our constitutional principles. And so that's sort of how I feel about it. It's not, for me, it's not so much that they, you know, whatever their doctrines are, frankly, I don't want to get involved in examining the religious doctrines of another religion. What really is concerning to me is this false misperception that children get that their public school endorses a particular form of religion.
Now, again, to Ryan's point that this is really about Christianity, that's a red herring, Dan and Kevin?
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. We don't have a problem with religiosity in general or Christianity in general. It's the methods and tactics that the Good News Club uses in indoctrinating kids and kind of stripping their value away and that kind of thing. And then, the only information that parents get, to Ryan's point about it being voluntary, is what's on the permission slip that Dan was discussing earlier, where they're just telling parents that this is a fun place to learn about Bible stories, but not really telling them actually what happens there and what the training materials say.
All right, I'm trying to get to a couple more quick caller points. This is Jim in Rochester. Jim, keep it tight. Go ahead.
Okay, the first point is that Buddhism shouldn't necessarily be deified. Buddhism is a philosophy, along with Zen, and along with some other...
Okay, we'll grant the point. Your second point?
The second point is that the founders separated the theological argument because they did not want to get embroiled in their own theological differences in Christianity. They all knew that they all believed in God. But you had Puritans and Quakers, you had the Catholics in Maryland, so that's kind of why that was kind of one of those things were kept separate. Thanks for your comment.
Thank you, Jim. Thoughts from the panel on that?
Well, I completely agree, and that's exactly what Catherine's point that she was making was that it's inherently divisive.
Let me briefly get to Jake's point. He writes to the program, the Constitution allows the free practice of religion, and since this is legally separated from the school on a technical basis, we're talking about the Good News Club, I just don't see any legal argument against these groups. Are there any legal challenges going on about this right now? Catherine?
There are no legal challenges that I know, but I want to point out, and I may have said this already, that just because something is legal doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. You know, I think public schools are incredibly, it's one of the pillars of our democracy. Public schools teach kids how to get along with others, even kids of different backgrounds. They're there to educate and not to sort of otherize, not to, you know, teach children to view other kids as other. And I feel like if we can keep religion and public elementary schools separate, it's better for our schools, better for our kids, and better for our communities.
All right, some of the last points here. Once again, the statement from Moises Estevez, who's the vice president of USA Ministries for Child Evangelism Fellowship, says that they have positive responses from children, parents, and school staff across the country, and they say that they're simply spreading the message for the last 77 years that the Bible's been spreading for 2,000 years, and they want to teach about love, respect, and biblical values. So that's the statement that came from them. They could not join us for the program today, but they did send a statement. We would love to hear from the folks on a local level with Good News Club, and we open that door for future conversations. If you want to learn more about what they're doing, Churchville Chi-Lai, again, we'll say is offering school space for afternoons clubs, after-school club, for the Good News Club, and you are supposed to be allowed to attend if you want to attend. The new Young Skeptics Club is meeting when? Dan and Kevin?
This Thursday is our first meeting at 3:30 at the Fairbanks Road Elementary School, and there are permission slips available online on the district website.
And you will open the door to anyone who wants to attend?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, the meetings need to be open to the public. It's part of the policy, and we welcome parents. Kids from even outside the district are allowed to attend.
And real briefly, 10 seconds, feedback so far. What are you expecting in terms of attendance?
We actually don't know yet.
Okay, you don't know. Have you had interest?
Yes.
Absolutely interest. We don't know the exact numbers yet.
All right, well, we'll continue the conversation. And again, we really hope the folks from the local Good News Club will join us on a future conversation. Dan Courtney, Kevin Davis in studio. Thank you both for your time today.
Thank you, Evan.
Thank you.
And on the phone, Catherine Stewart, the author of the book about the Good News Club. Thank you for taking the time, Catherine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to all the interest for our listeners today. And Juan, Val, great work engineering the program today. I'm Evan Dawson, and this is Connections on member-supported public radio.